Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Women Patriots. I'm Brenda Ward, your host, along with Billy Cotter, my co-host. We welcome all guests to call in. Our number for call-in is 718-305-7176. We have a pretty open format on this show. We're here to discuss any and all things that are occurring or that might be concerning to you. We are a conservative group, a part of Conservative Nation Radio. And tonight I thought I'd just start a little bit. Because we call ourselves conservatives, I thought, well, maybe we need to go back and just kind of see what the definition of conservative is, because with the different candidates running out there, there's so many people that have so many different ideas that aren't necessarily in line with each other, even though we all would consider ourselves conservative. So first I'll just go with the actual definition of conservative, which is an adjective, is disposed to preserve existing conditions, institutions, etc., or to restore traditional ones and to limit change, or cautiously moderate or purposefully low, like a conservative estimate, traditional in style or manner, avoiding novelty or showiness, like a conservative suit that you're wearing, of or pertaining to the conservative party, or of or pertaining to characteristics of conservative Jews or conservative Judaism. As a noun, it's a person who is conservative in principles, actions, habits. So a person who traditional is conservative in their actions and more traditional actions and behaviors. a supporter of conservative politics or policies. A preservative. Okay. I don't know that I'm actually a preservative, but that is part of the definition. This word originated between 1350 and 1400s, and it's equivalent to the Latin conservat. And it replaces Middle English conservatif, Middle French Latin as above. Another definition is favoring the preservation of established customs, values, and opposing innovation. A characteristic of or relating to conservatism, tending to be moderate or cautious, conventional in style or type. And then we go on down and we look, and we go back to, as a modern political tradition, conservatism traces back to the French Revolution in 1790, but it's not found in the writings of Edmund Burke. That's where they take it back to. It was coined by his French disciples, Chateaubriand, who titled his journal defending clerical and political restoration, Le Conservateur. Conservative, as the name of a British political faction, it first appeared in the 1830 issue of the Quarterly Review, an unsigned article that they think maybe was written by John Wilson Coker. It replaced Tory by 1843, reflecting both a change from the name and repudiation of some reactionary policies. Strictly speaking, it's not a political system, but rather a way of looking at civil order. Just like the conservatives of Peru will differ from those of Australia and those of America. Though they may share a preference for things established, the institutions can be such things as marriage and customs of marriage between a man and woman, which they desire to preserve but are not identical. So that's kind of basically the descriptions of what conservatism is. So basically it means that we're more favorable to the old traditions and the standards that were established back by our founding fathers. And Billy, I don't know if you have anything at that point that you want to add, but this is why we consider
conservative ourselves. To me, we adhere to the foundation of something.
Exactly.
We have an actual foundation, and that foundation we want to keep from crumbling.
A value system. And then
right.
they further divide us by fiscal conservatives, which are those who would be responsible with their money. Or, you know, the social conservatives, and those are on the values that we hold strong to our Judeo-Christian values.
And there's those of us who are both.
And there's those of us that are both, are all around conservatives, and have some problems with some of the issues going around us today. And we'd have a lot less problems going around us today if more people actually adhered to those values or that foundation that this country was built on. Billy and I were just discussing before we even came on the air this party situation going on with the GSA and with the Secret Service and the prostitution overseas. You know, if you're going by your Judean Christian principle, these things are not happening because morally, were not acceptable to the with your Christian values. If you go by the Bible, biblically, they're not acceptable behaviors. Yet,
but though they're not acceptable, you find out after hearing from members who used to be Secret Service agents that they actually are kind of traditional. If they have a policy called wheels up, rings off, you know, and that kind of thing is where I get a little bit, those kind of traditions are those that I would like to see squashed as a conservative.
Well,
those kind of things need to be, I don't care how long they've had that policy since the inception of the Secret Service. They need to, I mean, I don't like telling people how they need to run their lives, but, there has to be some sort of integrity in the Secret Service. And I've heard so many people saying how it always has been commendable, but if you've got a policy called wheels up, rings off, it's, you know, when the president leaves the country, they have a little bit of time to party before they take their flight. And
right.
That's not, to me, that's not showing very much integrity for the service either, you know.
Right. And it doesn't speak well, you know, to Americans as a whole. But, and I want to go back and I'm going to quote some tonight from Benjamin Franklin. We have many wise sounding fathers. You know, Benjamin Franklin was a scholar and obviously an inventor and a very wise man. And a couple of quotes that he has that could be taken in reference to, you know, not just these incidents, but things that are going on in our government and with the movements, you know, for gay marriage and different things across our society today. And one quote that he had was from a letter written in 1730. It said that wise men have in all ages thought government necessary for the good of mankind, and that wise governments had always thought religion necessary for the well-ordering and well-being of society, and accordingly have been ever careful to encourage and protect the ministers of it, paying them the highest public honors, that their doctrines might thereby meet with a greater respect among the common people. Here we have Benjamin Franklin talking about religion or values. A lot of us get our values from our religious upbringing and what we're taught from the Bible. You know, that's where our value system comes from for many of us conservative people. And here's Benjamin Franklin back, you know, in the 1700s talking about, you know, that a wise government, you know, has always thought, now this is history teaching us, that religion is necessary for well-ordering and well-being of society. And yet today in our government, they are attacking the Christian faith and the Catholic faith and stepping on First Amendment rights by trying to mandate against a religion, which the First Amendment strictly forbids. And we can see why when our founding fathers talk about religion going hand in hand with government. And so, you know, I think that's a lesson, but we have not learned that. And yet here's Benjamin Franklin back in the 1700s talking about it. But today, if we talk about God, we're some kind of fanatic and we're some kind of bigotry and crazy people that, you
or
know.
Or we've committed a hate crime against an atheist because we just said God in front of them.
Right, which is ridiculous because it doesn't harm them at all in any way. And yet if we're not allowed.
It does harm them to them. That's their harm.
No, it does not.
Seeing
they
a cross actually burns their eyes for some reason. I'm serious. That's how they act.
I know they do, but that again, that feeds back into the overall decline of moral values, and it actually feeds back into an agenda which you and I have often talked about, and if people want to
right.
see the agenda, you go to the 1963 Communist Agenda entered into the Congressional Record. And it talks about infiltrating churches and replacing revealed religion with social religion, discrediting mm-hmm. the Bible, and that's what they do. That's what that our own president has said that. You know, they cling to their Bibles and their guns. Like, that's something
bad.
Well,
you know, what I found kind of odd is over the last few weeks, they've had a lot ado about Thomas Jefferson's Bible and how he cut out everything that was divine in it. And how his Bible is on display at the Smithsonian now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's apparently cut out every miracle and everything that related to being divine.
Yes, but...
And go ahead.
My doctor gave me his copy of this to read, and I haven't read very far. Right now, I'm just reading through it. And it basically just the chronological order of Jesus' life.
Uh-huh.
And so, he doesn't go into the miracles and all that, and I haven't got into his writings on it yet. But at the very beginning, it says this, he was writing this for the Indians. You know, it wasn't that he was discrediting, you know, the miracles that Jesus did, but he was trying to put it into a format that the Indians would understand. And
right.
They tend to forget that. It's not that he was writing his own Bible because he didn't believe in miracles. it was the fact that he was trying to write, and he didn't publish this. This was his own writings. This was what he did in his spare time.
Well, no,
and
what it was,
you know,
was it was so, an actual Bible. It was an actual Bible, but it had cuts in it.
It's taken from his notes, though. He never published it. His family's the one that published it after his death. It was his own writings that he never did publish it. And because I'm, like I said, I just got it and I'm reading it, but it was just his, where he was chronologically going through every scripture, and he actually has the scripture listed next to everything he writes, but it's more like a chronological order of Jesus's life and the things that happened
right.
in that life. And I think they totally just try to use that to say, you know, well, he didn't believe in, you know, God as being this miraculous being. And yet,
yeah,
I
and that's
think
what they're trying to get at.
Right, and I think they do him a disservice when they do that. But again, on the list, they have to discredit our founding fathers. That is
uh-huh.
on this 1963 list, and that was number, let me see if I can find that one for you real quick, because I'm kind of looking at it here.
Well, that comes down to, you know, a lot of people, you know, when you hear an atheist say to you something like, or, you know, like, why do you believe in God? Have you ever seen him? Have, you know, they give you this like stupidity, try to reason with them type argument. And the first thing when they try talking about Thomas Jefferson saying, oh, well, he was an atheist or he didn't believe in God, I say, how do you know? Did he tell you?
I know. It's like, it's interesting that they know all this, you know. And yet, if you look at Thomas Jefferson, you know, he went to church once. He didn't. He was a man who thought that your religions are between you and God. He wasn't so much for, you know, established religions. And I think that comes somewhat from the way that England's, you know, the Church of England was set up, and how that allowed power to go to one central place and actually prevented people from worshiping God in their own way, because you had to do it their way or you went to jail. So he had
right.
an aversion to that kind of, you know, established religion. But that doesn't mean he didn't believe in God. And he did go to church regularly in the Capitol when once.
Right.
He didn't start doing that until a religious leader came and was going to do services there. Now, this is because he didn't want to give the look of doing anything that was improper, you know, from the Constitution. He was trying to strictly abide by, you know, he didn't want people to think he was doing anything not considered constitutional or like by the churches. Because once the guy came, he thought, well, if he's willing to do this, then it must be okay to do this. So it wasn't keeping religion out of government. He just didn't want to overstep what the bounds might be.
Right.
But yes. If we
well, see, the
list,
big thing is keeping the government out of religion.
Right.
It's not about
exactly.
keeping the religion out of government
right.
so much.
Exactly.
Because I'll tell you, I can't understand where people come up with the idea that they think that religion should be out of government, because right there in our declaration, they say we are given our natural rights by our creator,
right.
the life, liberty, happiness.
Well, then they tried to say they were all deists, but they weren't religious, which is just, if you go actually
well,
look,
a deist still believes in a higher power, meaning that a creator gave us those rights, not
right.
our government.
Right.
That's
and,
still
and,
a deist's belief.
And the quote I just read you was from Benjamin Franklin, whom I think some people say he was an atheist. And yet, that's not the only scripture.
Well, he was a deist. He was definitely a deist. That's
yeah.
noted.
But, you know, some people have even gone as far to say he's an atheist. But if you look at the list, 27, 28.
Well, he wasn't a good Christian, under the fact that he himself was quite a ladies' man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know.
Franklin, yeah. My husband knew I was talking about just by saying that.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, some people don't want to acknowledge the religion simply because of the fact it does limit their being a ladies' man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If they accept it, then they can't behave in the way that they want to behave. So it goes back to
right.
not wanting to have to be responsible. They don't want consequences for their actions.
And listen, there's tons of immoral Christians out there.
Oh, yeah.
And he
Absolutely.
Was just an immoral deist.
Right.
You
Absolutely.
Know?
And everybody has sinned. If anybody says they haven't sinned, then they're lying to you, because all have sinned.
Oh, absolutely. And we've all sinned. It's not
right.
about that. It's just about, you know, there are certain lines that Christians will not cross.
Right.
And those lines that we won't cross, especially, well, and I can't say all Christians. I'm saying to the Christian values of the religious freedom that we're given in the Constitution, that the Christian church will not cross, like the contraception issue and junk like that.
Right.
Those kind of lines, they will not cross.
And
right. my, you know, we just recently, my husband and I were talking to our Monsignor from our church, and we were talking about natural rights. And one thing the government has to understand is marriage itself is a natural right, because marriage was initiated by God.
Right.
You know, it was basically, you know, the first two people on earth, Adam and Eve, were married. By who? By God.
Absolutely. And told to be fruitful and multiply. Now, I'm sorry, but if you're a gay couple, you're not going to be fruitful and multiplying. It's not going to happen because it's not natural.
Right.
You know, just think
well,
about
there's
it.
Well, there's no fruit there. There's no fruit in a gay couple.
Yeah, and it's...
Because
it's
you can't plant a seed anywhere, you know?
Right, and it's common sense. I mean, it's common sense. If you just look at it from the common sense point of view, and, of course, we're coming from a Christian point of view, you know, with Adam and Eve and God, and marriage is
well,
actually...
See,
an
I was just going to say, there's common sense, and then there's what I call sinister sense.
Yeah.
And sinister sense happens to be... their emotional way of justifying things with their logical perception and their logical, philosophical, psychological blah
right.
That makes it sound like we're, you know, we who have the actual facts and the actual common sense,
mm-hmm.
they say, well, that's not common sense, because if two people love each other, they should be allowed to get married. And we say, well, no, if two people love each
yeah.
other and they are man and woman, they should be allowed to get married.
Right.
And they, no, but that takes away the whole philosophy that we should love each other and we should, you know, that love is what marriage is all about. But see, love isn't actually what marriage is all about.
No, it's
love
about...
is the foundation of marriage.
Right.
But is not the only thing it's all about.
But
being
what it's
fruitful
about,
and multiplying
exactly,
is the main part of it.
Exactly. And it's also an institution of God. You know,
right,
so
exactly.
It has no business being in the court system. And God has said it's between man and wife. And so this whole bit about them trying to make this an issue, you know, that they're somehow losing their rights. But I quickly, guys, on this 1963 list, the communist list, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, and out of step with modern needs. Now, who's done that recently? That would be our president. Okay. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religion expression in schools on the grounds that it violates the principle of separation and state. And who's done that? Oh, the lovely atheists of our country. Well
even the ACLU now is arguing for them.
For who?
The Civil Liberties Union.
For who are they arguing?
For the atheists. They're saying that atheists have a point that you can't even make the sign of the cross in a school.
Which is
because
insane.
It offends them.
Where does this stop?
Exactly.
You know, that atheist offends me. Okay.
Yes, they're the first ones to cry racial profiling if
yes.
you stop a black man in a black neighborhood for looking suspicious.
Exactly. And it all goes back to there's an agenda going on. It's been going on for some time in our country. And we, as the conservatives that stand on tradition and values, we are resisting this. And I think we've come, in this election, more than ever, seen the importance of where we have let this go on. And we have done this, people. We have set back, and we have allowed this to happen. Yes, it's hard, because anytime we speak up, we're called names and put down and called bigots and haters. But, you know, there comes a time when we've got to stop running and we've got to say, look, this is my country and I don't want to lose my country. And that's a point that I feel like we're at today. And, you know, unfortunately, Rick Santorum was, speaking for us, the people, we the people that have this point of view. And he, you know, with him suspending his campaign, has left a lot of people out there wondering what to do next. Well, here's what I'm going to do next, folks. And there is a group out there if you want to join. I am, my primary is on May 8th, and I am voting for Rick Santorum in my primary. This will in no way affect the general election, and yet I have my voice being heard. And I encourage all of you to vote your convictions in the primary, because it's not going to make a difference. Unless we can stop Mitt Romney, and then if we can, this country's going to be in much better shape, because Rick Santorum gets it, and Mitt Romney does not. And I don't want to just disparage the Mormon faith or anything like that, but there's a difference between the Mormon faith and the Christian faith or the Catholic faith. Not to mention that Rick is so much more eloquent when he speaks of his faith, because it is so ingrained in him. And people actually like him. Atheists like him. Liberals like him. Piers Morgan likes him because he's a good man. And he doesn't flounder around on this faith issue. It is actually what he believes, and people respect that, because if they truly see him living his life that way, and they respect that, even if they don't agree with him. And that's something we really lack in this country. You know, we're really lacking in that leadership. But that being said, it concerns me a little bit with the general election, because whatever happens, we must get Obama out of office. So I know some people don't want to support somebody who might not represent their views. However, we know that Obama supports abortion. He signed laws using our tax dollar to pay for abortion, and his health care law is going to do that also. And then we have a man who has promised that he will stand up for the unborn. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, we have a known person in office who is doing these things that we know are not right. And then we have a man saying he's not going to do those things. And yes, you might have to hold your nose, but we must, at the cost of our country, get this current president out of office. And if you want to do third party, set it for the 2014 election. Let's have a conservative party, because obviously the GOP is not going to listen to the conservative voice. And they're going, it's part of the establishment. Again, you know, go back to the GSA, and the Secret Service have their own little establishment and their own little rules and their own little parties. It's all about the money. The establishment is the money and the corruption that goes on in Washington and in the media. All these people are cronies. They all know each other. They hang together. They go to parties together. They are the corruption. They are the establishment. And we, the people out here working every day in the state streets, you know, are going to have to stand up to this establishment with our votes. Hopefully it doesn't come to anything more than that. But that's going to take us kind of into our next topic. I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that, Billy, or...
Well, I'm just, you know, being that we are women patriots, I do want to address the Ann Romney issue.
Okay.
With, you know, the whole, see, you know, I have to admit, I the GSA thing, I watched the hearings. I mean, I'm talking hours of hearings. And they were justifiably upset about all this these tax dollars that have been spent by this one region, mainly one region in the GSA, out called Region 9, and this Jeff Neely guy who had technically two jobs. He was a commissioner, and he was also a regional administrator. And he was his own boss to some extent. So he, you know, dictated where he could spend money and how he could spend money. And he spent so much of our tax dollars. It is unbelievable. We were hearing on the news about $830,000 at one party. There's nine parties they're investigating.
Wow.
And that's just phenomenal, one that they've come down with.
And see, why doesn't anybody know this? In government, you know, where's the oversight in Washington? It's not there. It's gotten big.
Well, what did Obama do? He gave them the GSA in particular, $500 billion of the stimulus to spend.
Oh,
the other $300 billion and something he distributed himself, like to places like Flindra. But they were given the money to spend on government buildings, on government $900 toilet seats. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
That's what the GSA does. They're the ones who are in charge of those things.
And it's just a sign of the corruption and what's wrong in Washington. And we're not going to fix that if we keep electing establishment elites to the office who aren't going to change that because they're backed by the same money. It all goes back to the money.
You know what they did? They had established rules that if they have award ceremonies, then they could have a conference, so to speak. And if they had a conference, they'd be allowed food at the conference. So they made up these award ceremonies by, like, telling different regions to make up their own video about the GSA. So then the best video would win. But all the people who participated in this video thing showed up at the conference. They got free food. They got free suites. They got all this stuff on the taxpayers' dime.
Yes.
And they created this in order to spend money because they just wanted to spend the money.
Yes.
And these award ceremonies never needed to happen.
No.
And part of the rules of the GSA is if you have an award ceremony, you're allowed money for food and money for, you know, a conference and stuff. So they decided, well, we need to make up all these award ceremonies we want to have.
Which goes back to our government is broken and Washington is broken because they're supposed to be about the business of the people and they're not. And this is what we, the people, are so upset about is this broken environment. And like we've just discussed before, I don't mind paying more taxes if my money is being used wisely, but this is just indication of how
unwisely. We all feel that way.
Yes, unwisely they're spending our money. And it's got to stop. And that stops
right.
At the, we need to elect at local levels on our senators and our House representatives. We need to get people who are promising us that they will get us less government and more fiscal responsibility, get this balanced budget, you know, get rid of these unnecessary programs, get rid of the regulations that are stifling our businesses and promote energy independence here. So this is what everybody can do on their local level. Here in Indiana, Richard Murdoch is running up against Senator Lugar, who's had six terms as senator, and it's time for him to go. He's part of the culture. He's part of the establishment. And I think people across America are going to have to do that. They're going to have to quit listening to the news media, and they're going to have to investigate their candidates for themselves and go that way. And you were going to bring up Ann Romney because I think they were insulting stay-at-home mothers.
Right. Well, I want to have like a part of the show on that.
Okay.
In particular, because this is where I feel that the Romneys, the whole Romney camp, disconnects with us, the conservatives. There are things that, you know, I understand the whole, well, I chose to stay home, so we should respect a woman's choice. But the way that they come about saying stuff like that doesn't sound like a conservative view. Yes, staying at home is a conservative choice. But respecting women's choices, the way she said it, did not sound like it's a conservative choice. It sounded like, you know, the same argument a pro-choice person gives a pro-lifer about, hey, it's my body, it's my choice.
Right.
And she disconnects with us conservatives in the fact that it's hard to believe that Mitt Romney really is what he says he is now because of what he was.
Yes.
It's just this disconnect that I feel, but at the same time, now I am a stay-at-home mom. Granted, I'll tell you, I worked for 22 years. I also worked several different hard, you know, grueling jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing when a stay-at-home mom doesn't even cook her own meals and has a chef and has a nanny. and never really even changed a diaper herself. That in and of itself really does insult a stay-at-home mom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Which, but, you know, is her right. But this is, they don't connect because they're not middle class and they never have been.
Right.
You know, I think it's more of they have the money. And it's just, there is a big difference between how people act who have money and the middle class. I mean, there's a big difference in how things come across. I think that's more of her problem.
Right,
than
that's
anything.
What I'm saying. It's the communication.
Yeah.
Her way of communicating to the conservatives is not working.
Right.
Because it actually turns some of us off. It turns me off just listening to her.
Well, I don't really listen to her because I've been watching the news. But
well, I've watched the videotape of her speech after, you know, this Hillary whatever, Hillary Rosen, after she said this stuff.
I watched her
responses, and her response is almost always the same. It's just, well, that's my choice, and women out there, even the Hillary Rosens out there, should respect my choice as a woman. And it's just that in that one little clip right there turns people off if you're a conservative. Because a conservative isn't going to hear, you know, it's a conservative choice. They're hearing it's a pro-choice argument.
But by the same token, there is a double standard. You know, either you're for women or you're not. If you're for women,
I agree.
Would be for whatever choice they make. If they choose to stay at home, they're not any less special than you are if you choose to go to work. But see, this is the liberal side, you know. Stay-at-home moms are bad things because they just want to stay home, take care of the kids. They want to be barefoot and pregnant.
I know. And remember Hillary Clinton's argument was, I could have stayed home and baked cookies, but I'd rather get out there and do something.
Yeah, well.
Remember that?
As if raising children isn't doing something. And this
exactly.
is partly.
Exactly. It was the biggest insult there was to
conservative
women.
It's also on the list, guys, but taking your children away from parents and putting the parenting on somebody else. And it happens overseas where they take your children because you have to work so they can take your money. Okay, so this is an agenda. It's all part of the agenda.
That's where my argument begins.
Yes.
My argument begins with, you know, it depends on why you make that choice. Really,
right.
It does.
Right.
One of the reasons I chose to stay home is so my children could not be indoctrinated by a school system. They could not be indoctrinated by society of a babysitter who's going to teach them things that I may not agree with. You know, I chose to stay home with my children so that they have the foundation that I lay for them, not the foundation that's laid by a community or a society that has 10 different foundations to begin with.
Right. Exactly. And it's again, it's part of the agenda. And you guys need to, if you have not read the Communist Goals, go read them. It's in file. Just type Communist Goals 1963 Congressional Record. It'll come up. You can read them for yourself. All of this stuff is in there about the breakdown of the family. This is something Rick was big about talking about. And getting control of the schools and getting the children away from parents so they can indoctrinate them. It's all part of the plan. And you'll be amazed when you look at this list. And but we as conservatives, and I don't know if it's because we're conservatives or it's because we have been taught values, you know, we look at it like, you know, if you want to work from home, I'm not going to look down on you if you want to work out of, you know, away from home.
Right.
But I'm
not
going to discourage you if you're raising your children at home. And I'm not going to call that not work because it is work, especially if you.
Right.
You know, children are a lot of
people. When you talk Ann Romney, people see the wealth before they see the person. And they see, well, this is a woman who has an elevator in her garage. This is a woman who has 3 different chefs and has a chauffeur, even, and 16 cars. You know?
And you also have to look at, though, I mean, she has her family, her children, they seem to respect them as parents. So you kind of have to look at that too. You know, that their children aren't out there running around like some celebrity children are, hopelessly out of control. And it's not.
Oh, they will be. They will be. See, right now they're in the background. When they come to the forefront, they will be.
Oh, most
just
of them
like Chelsea Clinton was.
Well, they're married and have kids.
Yeah.
I saw a picture. Most of them are married, and there's a lot of grandbabies there for the realm.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I've seen their picture.
Yeah, so, but again,
that's what I mean.
They have that elitist, the problem is they have that elitist attitude that comes of just always having money. So they don't truly understand, you know, the struggles necessarily of what everyday
women. Right,
with,
but see, that brings
that's
us
what's
to
insulting.
The class warfare argument, too, that's going on with the Buffett rule, which I call the envy tax or the gimme tax or the, you know, you don't have to earn it tax type deal. But the Buffett rule, now, see, I'm not saying because Romneys are wealthy that they need to pay more in taxes. I don't think that at all.
Yeah,
I just say there's a disconnect between Ann Romney and most women only because she's so much more wealthy. And she has never really, I understand where Hillary Rosen was coming from by saying she's never worked a day in her life. Now, she has worked in her life. I know it wasn't easy work. And suffering, you know, there's two different kinds of suffering out there. There's emotional suffering. There's physical suffering. And I think she's done a lot of both.
Right.
So she's actually sacrificed a lot in doing what she did. And I have to say, you know, my mom, who was a working mom and was hardly ever home with us kids, she worked two jobs most of the time I knew her, when I lived with her, I mean. And sometimes she even had a part-time weekend job that she'd work as a third job. So she was working her butt off, and I know how it is.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I myself worked two jobs when I was pregnant with my daughter. But it comes down to there's a lot of scrutiny over Ann Romney versus the general woman,
right,
who has worked in a business with a boss, with a, you know, I understand it. I also don't agree with it. I still say that being a stay-at-home mom is a lot of work.
Yes.
Even if you did have a nanny watching each of the kids, it's not that it wasn't work. You still had to dictate orders to the nanny, I guess. But she did work. At the same time, it's not on the same level of work that many of us are recognized.
Who don't have nannies.
And that's what makes it hard for conservative women to even put her in the same class of a stay-at-home mom as the conservative reasoning to stay at home with your children. Like I said, my reason has to do mainly with the fact that I don't want my children indoctrinated.
Right.
And it has a lot more to do with the fact that, you know, like, you know, we've talked before, my son has ADHD, and one of the other things I don't want to do is make him someone else's problem. You know, I think that he and I, we have developed our way of dealing with each other on a level that I don't want to have to, you know, explain to someone else on, you know, when he does this, you have to do this. When he does this, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
they're not necessarily going to have that patience that you have or that, you know, same kind of.
Exactly.
And discipline
that kind
or
of stuff comes
caring.
Down to that kind of choice. You know, it comes down to an either-or choice for someone like me. It's not an either-or choice for someone like her because she never really needed to work.
Right.
Whereas at times I do, you know, right now I'm looking for at least a job while the children are in school so that I can get, you know, this recession, I'm sorry, it's not a recovery.
No,
it's
absolutely
still,
not.
An economic recession to me.
Yes.
Things are going up. Our milk just went up another 50 cents. You know, you can't sit here and try saying we're in a recovery when every household is feeling the cost of milk rise, the cost of peanut butter. My goodness, peanut butter went up, what, over a dollar.
Right. And that all ties into the economy, the gas prices, the
and
grain
try
prices,
being a stay-at-home mom without peanut butter ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, little PBJ, you know.
Exactly.
Stuff,
especially
yeah,
if they ever have cold lunches, you know, that's like their number one choice.
Absolutely. That was what I took almost every day. I loved my peanut
yeah.
butter and jelly. So, but, you know, what this all comes into, and this is, again, the Democratic target of trying to create this war in women, because it all plays into the agenda. And first, I'm just going to read you a little bit here about Saul Alinsky. For those of you who don't know, Saul Alinsky is a Marxist. And I just want to read this a little bit because this is going to play into a couple of the next topics and this topic that we're actually talking about, because they're trying to create distractions to distract people from what's really going on in this country. And they do that by deliberately trying to stir up this strife. At first it was the war on women with the contraception, and now it's the war on women, you know, between Rosen. And even though Rosen supposedly doesn't have contacts with the White House, she's been there 36 times, okay?
She has lots of contacts. Valerie Jarrett's like one of her
best
friends.
So this is like a planned attack, again, on women, trying to stir up the women vote for the president. But let me just kind of read you, because this just tells you what it's about. Alinsky's second chapter. Now, this is out of his book called Rules for Radicals, okay? If you haven't read it, you can download it online and give it a read. It's called Of Means and Ends, and it poses difficult moral dilemmas. And the 10th rule of the ethics of means and ends is you do what you can with what you have and clothe it with moral arguments. He doesn't ignore traditional moral standards or dismiss them as unnecessary. He's more devious. He teaches his followers that moral rationalization is indispensable at all times of actions, whether to justify the selection of the use of the mean, ends or means. And these are the qualities that Alinsky looked for in a good organizer. See, Saul Alinsky, they called their leaders community organizers. Anyway, the qualities are
Barack
number
Obama's
one.
Old post.
Okay, but get this. The number one is ego. Okay,
ego.
Reaching for the highest level for rich man can reach, to create, to be a great creator, to play God. Remind you of anybody? Curiosity, raising questions that agitate and that break through the accepted pattern. Irreverence. Nothing is sacred. The organizer neither detests dogma, defies any finite definition of morality. Imagination is the fuel for the force that keeps an organizer organizing. A sense of humor, because the most potent weapon known to mankind are satire and ridicule. And an organized personality with confidence in presenting the right reason for his action only as a moral rationalization after the right end has been achieved. So basically, you know, you're just a good talker.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know,
basically.
I'm not going to put that in terms other people might use. Now, here's the part. The organizer's first job is to create.
You could say BS, sir.
Well, that would work. Okay. The organizer's first job is to create the issues or the problems. And organizations must be based on many issues. The organizer must first rub raw the resentment of the people of the community, fan the latent hostilities of many of the people to the point of overt expression. He must search out controversy and issues. And rather than avoid them, for unless there is a controversy, people are not concerned enough to act. And an organizer must stir up dissatisfaction and discontent. And I'm going to ask you to think for a minute of some recent things that have been in the news and where our current president has inserted his opinion. You know, Sandra Fluke.
Yeah.
He called her and apologized to her. Why? Because he's stirring up resentment, and he's trying to stir the pot to create this issue that is not an issue, but this is the Saul Alinsky tactics, because he's got to make the women mad. Okay, what was the other recent instance when he inserted himself into by
Trayvon?
And that one works because for years they have been with like the Reverend Wright and they've been preaching, you know, hate to the black community that, you know, the white man is out to suppress them. And this leads me into, I want to give a couple more quotes here from Benjamin Franklin. Because he also spoke to these issues, but if that part of the Alinsky tactics and the community organizers, our president is using those to push this agenda forward, and he is using the black community and he is using women, and we need to somehow get this message out to people that they are being used to promote an agenda that is not going to be good for any of us, not black Americans, not white Americans, not Latinos, not women, not for anybody. And let me just see here. Benjamin Franklin writes that history affords us many instances of the ruin of states by the prosecution of measures ill-suited to the temper and genius of their people. The ordaining of laws in favor of one part of the nation to the prejudice and oppression of another is certainly the most erroneous and mistaken policy. An equal dispensation of protection rights, privileges, and advantages is what every part is entitled to and ought to enjoy. These measures never fail to create great and violent jealousies and animosities between the people favored and the people oppressed. Whence the total separation of affections, interests, politics, obligations, and all manner of connections by which the whole state is weakened. So this speaks to how no laws should work in favor of one part of a nation to the prejudice of others. And in this country, we have seen the affirmative action, which was put in place to supposedly help, achieve equal equality for women and blacks and Hispanics, and it doesn't work. What it does is it actually creates more tension between the two groups of people because they're not equal laws. They're privilege laws, you know, because if you're black, you can get this job. If you're black, you can go to this college. But if you're white, even though you're more prepared or more educated or have the right to that job, it's going to create, but you don't get it because you're white. And see, that's what this is talking about. You can't have laws favoring one group or over another. And this is the thing that we loved about Herman Cain. Herman Cain didn't see his blackness as a problem. He worked hard to get to where he was in life and to earn his jobs that he earned. When we go back, and that now we're giving money to people, you know, and the welfare. And again, it goes to the agenda. They stir up hate, but they keep these people poor under this agenda, and they try to tell them it's because the rich man is doing this, and it's all the white people who are suppressing you. But this is what Benjamin Franklin has to say about this. He says, "I am for doing good to the poor, but I differ in the opinion of the means. I think the best way of doing good to the poor is not making them easy in poverty, but leading or driving them out of it. In my youth, I traveled much, and I observed in different countries that the more public provisions were made for the poor, the less they provided for themselves and, of course, became poorer. And on contrary,
exactly,
the less was done for them, the more they did for themselves and became richer." This is Benjamin Franklin in 1766. Okay, this is on the price of corn and management of the poor. And then there was another one when he wrote a letter in 1753. "Repeal that welfare law, and you will soon see a change in their manners. St. Monday and St. Tuesday will soon cease to be holidays. 6 days shalt thou labor, though one of the old commandments long treated us out of date, will again be looked upon as a respectable precept. Industry will increase, and with it plenty among the lower people. Their circumstances will mend, and more will be done for their happiness by inuring them to provide for themselves than could be done by dividing all your estates among them. This is Benjamin Franklin back in the 1700s, and it's like he could be speaking to us today. You know, Rick Santorum had the same platform that, you know, and Herman Cain, that you need to give them the means to get out of that poverty. You need to give them the means to work their way up in this world. And we need to believe in the American dream. However, if you believe in Marxism and you believe in the Communist Manifesto, there is no American dream. It doesn't exist. And this is what our current president was taught. So therefore, he must do everything he can to destroy and undermine the possibility that anybody come out of this poor sector and say, yes, there is an American dream, and we can achieve this. And so they kind of keep them on the plantation, per se. But this war on women is orchestrated. It's orchestrated to go for the Saul Alinsky and to play to the agenda of the party that's trying to push this country this way. And this Trayvon Williams case is also playing to the agenda, because there have been many cases of black-on-white crime that don't get any outcry. And there are 93% of all of the cases of violent crime are black-on-black. You know, there's a bigger issue at stake than this one instance in Florida, you know, but they're using it to their advantage to try to push their agenda. And it works so well. It works so well because why? The education system has failed.
Exactly.
Of our people, and they've been indoctrinated in their churches and in their schools. And they've been told that
our education system, public education, is a bastion of...
Right. And especially inner city. Inner city schools are horrible. Horrible.
Yeah.
And they do no favors to anyone. They don't do favors to anyone in this country.
Well, that's the number one place you'll see the indoctrination.
Right, exactly. Because they don't have either the means or... You know, to find
it's
out.
It's not even having the means. It's having, you know, that's where, like, a private school teacher versus a public school teacher fails. Or, I mean, a public school teacher fails. Because, again, it's kind of like the GSA. It's not their money they're spending. That they're spending on that education. It's the taxpayers' money. They go out, they buy, you know, iPads for everyone in class, you know, basically. And that kind of stuff really does not promote a good education. It promotes a teacher who thinks she's wealthy spending other people's money.
Right.
And, you know, she's got the union backing her, and she'll still keep her job, even if she were to be reprimanded for wasting taxpayer money, just like these GSA people.
Right. And that again, it's another tool, you know, with the union. You kind of bring the union in there. That is another tool that they use. They use the unions to rise up against the wealthy. This whole class warfare, war on women,
right?
This white racial warfare. These are all tactics that they're using to try to push the agenda, and by misrepresenting those of us who truly love this country and truly would like to help these people, you know, be able to achieve, you know, the American dream, a portion of it, or owning houses. We, you know, I don't like to see any young people going to jail for their lies because they've joined a gang, you know, or didn't have hope of having a better life. None of us want to see that. None of us want to perpetuate that. We'd like to give these people the opportunity to make something of themselves. And,
right.
And it is possible. Herman Cain did it. He did it in a time in the 60s when there was a whole level, the level of prejudice in the 60s in the South was...
way higher
it
than
it
was
now. Yeah, it was... my dad grew up in Alabama, and there was a street. My dad was born in 1936, but he was in Alabama, and there was a street that he couldn't walk down, because if you were white and you walked down that street, you would get beat up, you know. And there were obviously places that, you know, black people couldn't go in because of their skin color.
But, you know, to the same note, there's a lot of places here in America right now, you walk down the street, you could get killed and never even be found because
yeah.
of the same kind of racial tensions, only because of people like Jeremiah Wright, because of people who say, you know, the evil white man. You know, if you're white, they automatically are taught and indoctrinated by even their parents to hate white people, you know.
Yeah, and it's
not all of them.
Cause, and there's some really good ones out there. Unfortunately, the good ones are silenced, much as we, the conservatives, are silenced because they're called names and they're ridiculed and treated by, like pariahs by
right. I was just getting at what Jeremiah Wright has preached, you know.
Yes.
And even I've seen Van Jones say the same thing, you know. Basically, you can't ever trust a white man. A white man will never help you. Don't look to a white man for help. And if he gets in your way, kill him.
Which is just insane. You know, that. And,
yeah.
and then they turn around and say, we're the ones that are hateful and we're the ones that are bigots. And it's like,
right.
I'm not hearing that preached at my church.
No, I know.
You know, I'm you know, and it's hard for some of us to comprehend as of the middle class because we work with people of all races and we don't have those kind of feelings toward them. But this
well,
is something
see, the
that they're
is,
deliberately trying to build up in this poor minority population. This is preached to them from the pulpit. This is indoctrinated into their brain that we are bad and we
well no they're,
you know,
they're indoctrinated with the thought that we hate them.
Yeah.
They think And I shouldn't say it like that. It does sound kind of racist when you say they think. The, you know, the typical black person out there does not naturally think that every white person hates them. It comes from somewhere else that they think that they cannot trust a white man. It
right.
is preached to them. It is pounded into them. And it happens, and they become well aware of what they think is
and then
the truth.
They fight, then they react to every situation from that perspective.
Right.
Which will then compound the situation. Because I'm going to give you an example, okay? Cops came to my house one day, and this had to do with my niece and her ex-husband, and she was scared for the kids. Anyway, he called the cops, okay? And then he's trying to tell them this and that, and I'm telling him no, that way. And the cop said, if you both don't be quiet right now, we're going to handcuff you and take you in. Okay, I shut my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in a similar situation, such as that professor who remember Obama supported, where the cops came to his house and he
right.
started mouthing off to them. Okay,
right.
You can perpetuate a situation or you can shut your mouth.
Right.
Which is what I was taught to do. You respect authority. And when they told me to
right.
shut my mouth, I shut my mouth. You know?
Well, see, they respect authority if it's a black policeman on their side to some extent. And I've heard so many songs out there, the rap songs, the hate-filled F the police ones, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And to me, it's like, what is this nation going to be, you know, teaching our children if this is the kind of stuff they hear in the car riding with their parents, you know?
Right.
And,
right. And
they're not going to respect the police. They're not going to, you know, give me your ID. Oh, you stopped me because I'm black. No, I stopped you because you're, you know, walking down the street at, you know, after a certain hour, and it's a
yeah.
suspicious hour to be walking down the street.
Right.
You
and
know?
It's all about, oh, it's because I'm black. Yet, I will tell my son, who's 17, I don't want you out on the street after this time because somebody might think you're looking for trouble, and I don't want you out there. You know,
right.
there's no reason for you to be out there. You don't need to be out there. Okay.
Right.
Because there are people out there who will start trouble or might think you're looking for trouble, especially my son, 6'3", as this Trayvon Williams guy was over 6 foot tall. you know, and if you're wandering around in the dark and there's been crimes in the neighborhood, people are going to be suspicious. I don't care what color you are.
Right, exactly.
You know, if you're out wandering around the streets at that hour, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And I wouldn't let my son walk to the store at night to get Skittles and something to drink. You know, you'd drive him down there, whatever. So it,
right.
It comes back to, again, how we come and how we look at a certain perspective, you know.
Well, you know, I'm not gonna say that Trayvon Martin should not have been where he was. He had every right to. The only thing is, George Zimmerman was aware that he had the right to, because was unaware, because his
yeah.
community. Obviously, he knows everyone in his community, and Trayvon did not look familiar. And that's something that
And there's things
it
we don't know that went on, too.
To,
there were words exchanged, which I also tell my children, you know, don't engage. You know, you don't go out and try to, you know, perpetuate
right.
the situation.
Right, and I think that was absolutely wrong. You don't follow someone you're suspicious of, first of all. That's, you know, I might look to see where they're going and say, hey, he went that way, and that's it. If the police show up, I'm not going to sit here and follow them and look for trouble, because that's what I think ended up happening. Really, I do. I think
yeah.
that there was.
And we don't know everything, but.
Right. I don't know everything. I haven't seen the evidence, and I have no right to comment on who I think was guilty here. But based on what I've heard on the 911 call, it sounds like he kept following him even after he was told not to. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
He's still panting, and he sounds like he's out of breath and stuff. So it just sounds like he didn't stop following him.
Right.
He sounds panicky more than panting. He sounds like, oh, I lost him, you know. If you heard the whole tape, he's saying, where'd he go? I don't know where he went. And
yes, but then
I lost
after
him.
Then after that, there was a confrontation.
Right.
And if it was my kid,
and we don't know who
followed,
was.
I would want him to go to the nearest safe place.
Right, me too.
I don't want
that's
him to turn around and confront the guy that's following him. I mean, there were mistakes on all the parties involved. And,
right.
you know, they want to make Zimmerman's only 28. To me, that's still a child, because my children are, you know, 25, 28.
Right.
And they don't always make the best judgment calls, you know. So,
and
but
see,
I think we need to get all the information, but we also need to be teaching responsibility to our children and respect. You know, if somebody is following you, you go to your safe place. Don't confront them. If you confront them, don't do it in an angry manner. You certainly don't be hitting nobody. You know, there are certain things that you should do, you know, that you expect of your children and that you should be teaching your children. And that doesn't always happen, because they're made to look at it from a standpoint where the world owes me, and just the way that Reverend Wright kind of ingrains, you know, indoctrinates. It's an indoctrination. And I mean, that's a whole
right.
story, but.
The
but,
thing that it comes down to is, you know, don't assume. Don't make the assumption that if someone might or may not be following you, you have to confront and make something worse either. But at the same time, you know, at the same time, you don't have to assume that someone that's not in your neighborhood doesn't belong there just because
right.
you haven't seen them there in a long time. Even if there are a string of robberies, I heard there were like 8 robberies within the
right.
last 2 months or something before that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a reason to be suspicious of someone in the neighborhood, honestly. But at the same time, what he did was right in calling the police. He should not have followed him at the same time. But anyway, this is a topic that, you know, there's too much speculation to even go after. But at the same time, it brings up the things that they're looking at in Congress, because right now they're looking at racial profiling and trying to get some new law passed about racial profiling that makes the people in, like, police stations, the local police stations should have cards or some sort of information card on everyone in their community with their race on it. and all this other stuff. And it's just really, it sounds really silly. And one of the police officers that was on Capitol Hill today was saying, this is just making our job worse if you're going to try making us take on a rule like this.
And this
but
is the problem.
The other thing they're going after are gun laws.
Yes.
Now, there's only one state out there that doesn't have a carry, you know, conceal and carry or, a, you know, you're able to carry law.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Illinois.
Of course.
But guess where most of the gun crimes take place in the United States?
Illinois.
Second most popular. Chicago.
Yes, and it's because...
Where is Chicago? Illinois.
And it's crimes perpetuated on innocent victims because they can't defend themselves. But
right.
You're right. It all goes back to the Second Amendment right. They tried to do this with Fast and Furious. That backfired on them because unfortunately.
Oh, you got to read the book.
Killed.
The new book that just came out. It's called Fast and Furious.
Really?
And it's got quotes from Eric Holder all the way back to the 90s in it about how he's going to... he's got this big old elaborate plan to send, you know, send weapons to Mexico, and then when they come back here, blame it on the gun shops.
Yeah.
So that the gun shops will have stricter regulations on them.
Because before you can subdue a people, you have to take their means of defending themselves away. Look at your history, people. This has happened throughout history. They're going after your Second Amendment.
There won't be a revolution
right.
if they have all the guns.
Exactly.
That's
well,
the
they'll
problem.
They'll slaughter the people that don't agree with them.
Right.
You won't have.
And we won't be able to defend ourselves.
And this is how our founding fathers were so intelligent in making the Constitution and giving us the freedom of speech in the First Amendment and the freedom of religion and giving us the Second Amendment to endorse and enforce that First Amendment. And right now our government is trying to take all of that away from us. And that goes back to the importance of this election, which Rick Santorum often pointed out. But here's the problem I see with Mitt Romney. He thinks that President Obama is a good guy. Okay. I don't think he sees what's going on in this country. I don't think he understands what's going on.
See, you know what?
And
when you talk about the character of President Obama as a husband, as a father, as a person. He is a good guy, okay? But
when it comes down
to his politics, to his policy, to his views on what America should be, see the word should in there means
as
a lot.
Should, yes, and that's also in Solowinski, the world as it should be and not as it
not
is.
Not the way it is. But the way he thinks it should be, he has his own vision, and he sees this big picture of how he wants things to be. And you know what? He's actually getting really pissed off, forgive my language, but he's getting mad that,
because
guess
it's not
what?
Working.
It's not going his way. He's stomping his foot. He's throwing a tantrum, literally. But he is not a bad guy. He's just not getting his way. And we the people know it. We the people know not to give him his way, because if he gets his way, we're screwed.
Well, some of us. Unfortunately, some people still don't see it. So, you know, that's a problem. So, and we do have a guest caller calling in at 804. So let's see who that is. Who do we have at 804?
Overall character as a husband.
Hello, 804?
Going to his daughter's basketball game. He's got the air.
804, area code? Hello?
Oh, someone dropped.
Did they drop?
Who was that?
I don't know. There's an 804 area code, but they're not answering. So, okay.
It shows to me that the call has dropped.
Oh, it's still showing up on mine. So, all right. Well, let's just close that out. If you'll have to call back if you were trying to call in to speak to us, because it's not picking up and it's not going away. Anyway, let's just play my Reagan choices, because I love my Reagan.
Oh, here we
choices.
Go. Wait. Our caller's back. I got him.
You got
Hi,
him?
Hi, 804. Who do we have?
Hi, my name is Hugh. I'm in Virginia.
Hi.
I'm sorry. What's your first name?
Hugh, H-U-G-H.
Oh, Hugh. Okay. Hi, Hugh.
What you got to say tonight?
Well, I just came across your show. I'm looking to help empower women and get this country back on track and have it be the beacon of the, for the rest of the world as God meant it to be, with forgiveness, love, and prayer.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a good plan.
If I can share my name with you, be able to pull some things up from the internet, and I also have a partner who I'm interacting with, a woman who is a burnt-out nurse from 28 years, and I think she would love to interact with you, too.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. We welcome all callers and all sharing of information. That's what we're trying to do with our Conservative Nation Radio, is just to try to bring people together and keep people informed and try to get this country going on the right track.
And when you say empowering women, how were you meeting?
I was blessed to have been married to an earth angel for 35 and a half years, and she taught me the most important lesson we're all here to learn. That's unconditional love. And in her memory, I'm offering that to mankind combined with my big mission and vision, which is bringing spirituality into global economics and combining it with unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Interesting. Yeah.
Yes. It's a whole new way of doing things, and that's also something that has to be done. Unconditional love is the bottom line, everything. Since the beginning, it's all been about control, divide and conquer, and all those systems are breaking down rapidly, but it has to be replaced with something totally new, and that is along the lines of unconditional love. I say the operative word is collaboration, caring and sharing with one another.
Absolutely, because we don't have enough. We have too much conflict in the world and not enough love, you know, for
yes,
those out
and
there.
The fear has to go to where it belongs now, and that's with the elites. And I am a very spiritual person. I put out a message to them. In the right kind of alignment with the Creator, with your heart, you'll be perfectly fine when God's harmonics come. Harmonics, of course, are sound waves, but if you're an elite, you can be sitting on your yacht over in the Mediterranean, sipping a pina colada, and you're going to spontaneously combust or explode. And the same thing can happen if you're an underground bunker. I can be walking down the street and have bodies exploding all around me and be perfectly fine. So you can change your ways and maybe live a little longer if you begin to care and share the way you should.
Yeah. I agree with everything you just said about, you know, it's the faith in God that really protects us.
Exactly right.
And surrounds us.
Yes, and people are far too caught up in the material world, and they have lost the fact.
Oh, I just brought that. I was just talking about that, too, with my children,
well,
that things are not important.
I mean, since birth, you know, they're caught up in the matrix, so to speak, and we're being jerked around constantly by the elites in all different ways, and that's when we have to realize that we're all spiritual beings. We came here from spirit. We're here playing a physical game. We're going to go back into spirit eventually. You can't take the toys with you, and you're going to be fully accountable for everything you did in this earthly plane.
Okay, now explain. I just want to hear from you one quick, since you brought that up,
mm-hmm.
since we came here from spirit, and I believe in the saying from God to Jeremiah that, from before you were formed in the womb, I knew you,
right.
Meaning as a spirit, like you brought it up. Are you anti or pro-abortion?
I believe that children should be protected from inception all the way through. I don't believe in abortion, but
okay.
I understand that that's something that is out there.
Supreme Court overread.
I pray for the people that, you know, have abortions or whatever, because I think it's wrong. And I think that all life is precious, and that, you know, including animals and whatever, too. We just, if we, again, just shift the greed.
Well, when you brought up empowering women, that's something that, you know, I know we women, have quite, well, especially me and Brenda out there, we have quite a loud voice. But our voice is a conservative one and is a very pro-life one as well. And when it comes to discussing with a liberal or discussing with someone who's pro-choice about life, that value that you just placed on it is not there, just in their whole rhetoric. There's no value
again,
for
again, you're
that,
not going to win 100% everybody over to something. I just put out what my personal beliefs are, and if it resonates with other people or they haven't thought of something along those lines and they it gives them pause for thought and maybe go in a better direction, the other ones I leave in God's hands. There's nothing I can do about that.
Right. Right. But you still preach, you still, you know, spread God's word.
Well, exactly. And I, again, I have a Christ consciousness. I was raised in a Catholic church. I'm a lapsed Catholic, and I say that there's going to be wrappings coming off a lot of religions because they're...
Right.
They're in, the corruption is rampant in big government, big business, mainstream media, and the religions. They all have these controls on us.
Right.
So as people become more aware and look back at who's jerking us around and why and follow the money and expose the corruption and bring it to justice,
right.
That's, we have to do it with love again because...
Right.
Otherwise,
and see, I don't
right
blame a rich... I don't blame a rich man for being rich if he earned it.
I'm
totally I think that's
justified.
His money.
Yeah, the occupiers are pointing their fingers. They don't know what they're pointing their fingers at. I mean, if you have
mm-hmm.
the evidence, yes, point your finger at that, but just don't point your finger because you have a lot of money. Maybe they need to be educated on how to recirculate it a little bit better.
Right. And I know a lot of, I mean, I shouldn't call them even wealthy people, but like even my doctor. My doctor makes, you know, about $300,000-$400,000 a year, but he owns a practice.
Right.
And he's a wealthy person, yet at the same time, he employs people, and he donates quite a bit to our church, and he donates quite a bit in society. He has, you know, in our hospital, he has a plaque saying he donated like $5,000 every year. So, I mean...
Well, that's where the transparency is going to come into play more and more, because... That's what this president had promised we would have. We never got it. Instead, we got a
right.
monstrosity of a health care bill that's bankrupting the country, and all that should be pulled back, reworked, and none of that should ever happen again. The special interests and lobbyists have to get the heck out of Washington because
and
they're
see, the special interests, special interests are like what, when you hear President Obama say, this is how it should be. It should be fair. It should be that. That's because he's got special interests out there in his back pocket that he
exactly
wants that money
right.
to go
yeah,
to.
I didn't vote for him. I support all our presidents, but I also
right.
reserve my right to have free speech. And I will
right.
say this about the president. He has come out as some kind of a intellectual dictator as far as I'm concerned, saying, well, you
right.
got this choice and that choice, and I think if you go with what I'm telling you, that's what you should be doing. And I don't,
right.
I don't buy any of the choices he's giving. Even during the campaign
right.
in 2008, I wrote an article entitled America's New Transformational Economy and pointed out in there that he was campaigning on the word change. And I said, Americans don't want change. We want all our money back. How prophetic was that?
Right, exactly.
Right.
And it is our money. It's we need to be able to spend it our way. If we don't want to contribute to a place like Planned Parenthood, then we shouldn't have our taxpayers or our tax money going there. And if we don't want, like even liberals, a lot of liberals will say, well, we don't want to fund the wars. Well, then you know what? You should keep your own money in your pocket and then donate it to Planned Parenthood if you want. Because
exactly.
that's what the free market is all about.
Yeah, and it's the people aren't being properly represented. Again, I say to everyone that I ever come on and talk to on a show that from now on, every time you come across any politician, keep hammering the same question at him and say to him, don't you tell me what you can do for me once you're elected. You tell me today, right here and now, what you can do for this community, for the state and for the country. The people have the answers. Mm-hmm. The politicians can get the answers from the people. The ones that get the best answers presented in the best way get elected. They're kept under the microscope. If they're not doing what they're put in there to do, they're right out of there. The 40, 50-year politicians are history. You'll never see that again. And
right.
I just want to touch on this corruption again related to what's going on with the Secret Service and all this sex stuff. This
right.
is so rampant in Washington, and it just subsides after a while. But I want to go back about a year and a half, and maybe you ladies will recall, and this is on this president's watch too, that they caught a bunch of SEC types making a couple of $100,000 a year of taxpayer money. Is supposed to be monitoring Wall Street, and they're watching pornography all day on the computers. You can Google
right.
that.
Right, yeah, hey. I remember that.
Yeah, well, they said they caught them red-handed, and they said they were going to discipline them. But they never
identified.
And they're
still working there.
I know, and they never said how they were going to discipline them. Now, in my mind, they didn't discipline them at all. They took them off the computers, and they promoted them. They made them
right.
all TSA agents and let them get their jollies feeling everybody up at the airports now.
Yep.
And then you have
what?
To realize, too, how
stuff.
Magically all these X-ray machines came in out of nowhere. How many millionaires were made just on that one item?
Exactly.
Yeah,
so,
I agree. It's just
I
government.
Exactly
it's just,
where you're coming from.
Yeah, they're just way out of control. And when we talk about the establishment, even though Karl Rove and those people try to tell us there's not an establishment, it is that corruption. It is that money. It is that lack of morality
yeah.
that goes on in Washington. And
yeah,
it goes
I don't know
both
if
parties.
You can get this information, but I was written up in a front page Wall Street Journal article, which was dated Wednesday, April 27th, 1983. It was written by a staff reporter by the name of Jonathan Quitney, spelled K-W-I-T-N-Y. In that article, I exposed a former federal government bureaucrat back then. I believe he was a CIA operative, and at the time, he was engaged to the daughter of Texas Congressman Jim Wright. Now, Jim Wright went on to become the Speaker of the House, but that article put him in the spotlight. I was interviewed by a bureau chief from another newspaper who then dogged Mr. Wright until eventually he resigned the speaker position in shame. And that whole initial Wall Street Journal article came about from one short memo that had been sent to me that I activated when I saw things weren't quite right. So
mm-hmm.
as long as you're honest and upfront and whatever and have nothing to hide, that's where our future should be going, not with all
well,
this.
Well, see, you know, another big controversy for me is when President Obama nominated this safe school czar, the guy who's supposed to, like, be overseeing drugs in our schools, and he's initiated the it's okay to be gay type of criteria or curriculum for five-year-olds. And the thing is, then you find out that this, right after he gets nominated, there's this calling in the realm of psychology that's going into, like, our Psych 101 in college books about how a pedophile is no longer, should not be deemed a criminal, but someone with a mental disorder and disabled to some extent. And then all of a sudden, right, not long after that, Joe Paterno comes out and there's this outrage because he was molesting boys. But this guy in the schools, he's out there promoting NAMBLA, the
yeah, well,
North
that's
American
why we had that Congressman
male...
Weiner. What a piece of work he was, and he's getting a pension that the taxpayers
and he's still
are paying
there.
For. What's all that about?
I know.
It's just
I'm
going to
give you my
badly.
Name, and then I'm going to see if I can get my partner to call in, because you'll love
okay.
her, and she can do a lot to help network
okay.
and bring all this stuff to, you know, to get it bigger and better.
Okay.
You can Google my name, and you'll actually see a letter from President Obama to me on a blog. My name is
uh-huh.
Hugh, H-U-G-H. The
uh-huh.
last name is Trawlson, T like Tom, R-A. U-L-S-E-N as in Nancy, and I'm going to have my friend call in, and her area code is 732. Her name is Diana, and she's a burnt-out nurse from 28 years. You'll have fun with her.
Awesome.
Brenda's
I'm
a nurse
also
too.
A nurse. I'm a nurse of Gosh,
I'm going to call her.
27?
I'll get that you hold that thought. I'll get it right on. I'll
okay,
call back.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, Billy, are we broadcasting? Are they hearing us? I lost my chat.
I have no idea. I really don't know. These other guests in the room are not answering.
Yeah, and Becca dropped out, so I don't know. I tried refreshing my page, and then I lost my small chat. So it's like, I don't know.
Oh, no.
Okay. So, okay, well,
just
if not.
Look for a new caller. I'll be looking at the chat.
Okay. I'm just going to quickly play our Reagan choices, because I love my Reagan choices.
Back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, 6 times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us and at the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Now, Congressman Farrand brought the program out on that idea of just for that particular group of people. But Congressman Farrand was subscribing to this foot-in-the-door philosophy, because he said, if we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, then we can expand the program after that.
Okay, those were just a couple of our Reagan clips, and now we have on the phone, we have Hugh back on the line with us, and I believe we have Diane. Is this you at 732?
Yes, it is.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic.
Awesome. We were just, Hugh called in.
We're just pulling the covers over our head, and I said, you got to call in and talk to these ladies.
You've got to call in and talk to these ladies. Yeah, Billy and I have our show every Tuesday night. We just talk about conservative issues and things going on in the country and where we think things ought to be going, and they're not going. So
yeah, they're going the opposite direction, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you said you were a nurse.
Yes.
I also am a nurse. I've been since I graduated in 84, so about 20
years. Me too.
Okay.
All right.
So we know about this health care bill, which is just frightening.
Yes, it is, because, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because the care and the care is going to get worse. It's not, definitely hasn't gotten better, I'd say, in the last 10 or so years, you know, as far as payments and, you know, hospital care and making the cuts, you know, that they have to make to stay alive. It's just going to get worse, unfortunately. So
and like I said, you know, we've got a lot of doctors out there that are retiring now, and
mm-hmm.
guess what, there's not a lot of kids choosing medicine as their goal, because so many people want, I mean, they choose medicine not only to help people, but also because it's a good living. When you've got class warfare spouted out there by the president, they don't think that they should make that much, because then they're going to be taxed to the hilt. And it's really affecting our college rate of enrollees in medicine right now.
I think you're right. Also with the nursing, you know, I'm hearing, I just start laughing, seriously, because I hear, oh, get into nursing because you're going to make all this money. You're going to do great. Everything's fantastic. Get into nursing. And it's like, wait, honey, wait till you get into nursing, because did they forget to tell you that you're going to have demanding patients? Did they forget to tell you you got to deal with all the other good stuff that goes with it? It ain't just a check, baby. No, they don't tell you that good stuff, and they don't tell you that you're shaking every time, you know, with your license on the line and all that. They don't tell you that, but they tell you you're going to make all this good money.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. It's like, and it seems like because of the internet and just because people are bolder, I mean, there, some of these patients are just outrageous. I don't know what else to say about them. I mean, they're just so aggressive. And like,
it's like, excuse me, you're the nurse. You're here to serve me. I had that happen to me. And I looked at her. I said, I'm not a waitress. Nothing against waitresses. But I looked at her, I said, do I look like a waitress to you? I said, I'm an RN. How may I help you? But I'm not here to serve you. I thought I was going to get fired.
But, well, you know, it's kind of odd. You girls can answer this for me, because I heard this. I just read it in an article recently, and they're saying something about right now generic prescription drugs are, like, hard and like, really important ones. I can't remember what they called one of them for hearts. It's really, like, on the endangered species type list, because a lot of different companies no longer make it.
Yeah, it's not profitable.
Exactly. It's all about the mighty dollar.
It's all about the money, and it's not profitable. In fact,
It'll come back out of China with Rhodes-Tar in the pill.
Yeah, probably, or lead or something, you know, wonderful for us, even arsenic maybe. But, I wrote a couple of prescriptions out last week. I actually work for a group of doctors now, so I don't do direct patient care for the most part, thank God. But they tobramycin, like mm-hmm. some of the pharmacies, which is just an antibiotic, and they just didn't have it. It's like, we don't mm-hmm. have any tobramycin. It's like, oh, okay, well, all right, what can you substitute it with? You know, but it all comes down to the money.
And they were talking about having to, like, they get like these really strong doses, and if someone needs a weaker dose, they have to dilute it down now and stuff like that. And they were just, I mean, it was just weird that this one nurse that was on there, she was just talking about it, or in the article, she was talking about how it's just become a place that they're fearing that it has something to do with the healthcare bill. That the healthcare bill, Sibelius, is saying, well, that's not an important drug to carry anymore, even though it's like the number one drug they use in, you know, stopping a person's heart while they're doing heart surgery or something.
Well, yeah, there's regulations, too, involved in it, because the government's involved in everything, and which also drives up the cost of care. And this healthcare bill did not address any of that. It didn't address any way, shape, or form how to bring down the costs of delivering healthcare. All it does mm-hmm. is it's going to decrease payments to the doctors and to the hospitals and to the people delivering the care, and it's just not going to be a good thing. We need some healthcare cost reform in this country, and we need to open the health insurance across state lines so people could buy their health insurance like they do their car insurance. You know, it shouldn't cost $600-$800 a month to have a good insurance plan. You know, that's just most families can't afford that. But this health care bill has done nothing to address that. And Diana, I don't know if you know, but they have these panels that are going to decide, you know, if you're 70 and you come in with a stroke, the doctor's not going to know whether they're going to get paid until the panel reviews the condition. And of course, you know, this patient isn't, the most benefit comes within the first hour being treated right away. And so these quote unquote death panels are in this bill. And this is not going to be good for the elderly in the country. And
yeah, but see, you know, that was the number one thing they had against Sarah Palin during 2008.
I know.
When they were talking about, when she brought up death panels, they started calling her a kook on mainstream media, and she's absolutely nuts, and she doesn't know what she's talking about. And you know what? Lo and behold, she was right, and not one of them has ever even, you know, dared to apologize for the,
oh,
you
no.
know, name
well,
calling.
No. They
but what
did
they do? What do they do when Rush Limbaugh calls someone a slut on the air?
I know. They attack.
Of course. That's because it's two-sided, you know.
Yeah,
it was a
it's
woman.
A double-edged sword.
Yes, you got it.
It doesn't fit their agenda. If it
no.
doesn't fit in their agenda to push
it's not what should
for the
be.
Changes they want,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they can't have smart women in the GOP because that takes away their women voters, and they're supposedly the party of the women, you know. So they have to ridicule, you know, people like Sarah Palin, who, you know, I'm sorry, people, but you don't get to be governor by being stupid. It doesn't happen. You know? And yet all these people would
oh,
say,
"Oh, but listen,
stupid.
Brenda, we don't know whether Barack Obama was smart either, and he got to be president.
Well, he's had some bad.
You know, nobody's
though,
ever
you know.
Vetted his college transcripts.
Yeah, but, you know, that's a different, that's called thug politics and big money with the, you know.
Well, you know what? I heard Barack Obama's calling for Mitt Romney to release, like, 10 years of his tax refund. If I were Mitt Romney, I'd be out there saying, okay, when you release your college transcript and the real birth certificate, not the PDF format thingy, but guess what? Then I'll release 10 years worth of, I think that's a fair enough trade.
Well, yeah, but what he wants to do with Romney, he wants to do the class warfare.
What's he going to release, 10 years of birth certificates?
10 years of tax documents.
We just like
documents.
To see the long-form one that they don't have in Hawaii.
That's, you know, they waste their time on all this nonsense to do these smoke and mirrors so that everybody's worried about that. What about what's going on right now? That's
Holy
really
crap.
Gets to me.
It scares me to death, Diane. Is it Diana?
Diana. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just, what's going on right now is just scaring the life out of me, and I'm just, you know, we have got to stop this president and his agenda.
I agree. But what makes me laugh is these people are making decisions. They don't have no health, you know, they have no professional knowledge. How could you sit there and decide what a patient needs? When you
yeah.
don't have no knowledge of anything medical, I just love it. You could tell me as a professional of 28 years what
yeah.
a patient needs on the nursing
right.
level. I don't think so. You don't have it. Okay.
And not only
don't
that,
even, go there
even
with
you,
me.
Even you guys who have been in since for 28 years, both of you, even you don't know what the next person needs.
Exactly. Each patient is different. You have to assess the situation.
Exactly.
You can't just go and assume things. And these people have no clue, but they're going to look at a book. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This person had a stroke. Oh, well, let me see. They're allowed 3 days. That's all they're
right.
allowed. That's it. Because, you know, that's all we could pay for. That's a crock of baloney. Okay?
Right. Absolutely. And it's been
going
on.
And they came out
on.
With the DRGs. Forget it. I was like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
And you're
gonna
going to think
I'm
crazy for saying this, but we need more doctors like Ron Paul out there. Doctors like him, not politicians like him, but doctors like him. Because he took indigent people, he kept them in hospital beds for weeks and never
mm-hmm.
charged them a dime.
Well, here's the problem, though. You can't do that anymore, Billy. Our doctors used to write off like what Medicare wouldn't cover.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
but then the government comes back and says, well, if you can afford to write that off, then we're going to pay you less because we're obviously paying too much. And they put these regulations in place. You can't write that off for those patients because of the
yeah.
government. And it's a very sad situation. And they reimburse. I'm in radiation oncology, Diane. And
okay.
They reimburse us about 20 cents on the dollar for Medicare patients.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's going to get worse. Because they think they're paying us too much.
Well, heck, they want billionaires to keep only 70 cents on their dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just insane. And it's not what America's, these people are being told.
Well, the number one
it's
thing that involves me with this Congress and our president is they keep trying to say, well, You know, our country is paying for tax cuts. No, you're not. You're allowing the citizens of this country to keep more of their money.
Right.
And that's how it should be.
Right.
I am getting so upset with the class warfare argument. I'm not rich in any way, shape, or form. You know, like I said, I'm a stay-at-home mom, but
mm-hmm.
We do live paycheck to paycheck. I'm now looking for a temporary job while my children are in school so I can still stay home with them when they're here. But at the same time, I know that the wealthy people, I'm not going to be looking to a poor man for a job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could even look to a doctor's office or something else, but that's still a wealthy person that I have to seek a job from. And I don't want them having to pay more so they can pay me less.
Right. Which is where we're going.
Well, it's
exactly.
The corruption
we're going
that
backwards.
Has really
that's,
be addressed all the way through because
yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of Susan Lindauer. She's a CIA, a 9/11 whistleblower. And she was jailed for about 3 or 4 years, and then they released her. They didn't have anything to hold her on. She wrote a whole book about it. Her handler got $13 million, I believe, of black ops money with no accountability for it. They just gave him this money. And he
uh-huh.
built a beautiful home
well,
with it.
Look what
whatever.
They did with Cylindra. Cylindra,
well,
they didn't
what I'm
gave
saying.
The
well,
money.
That's where the transparency has to come into play, and that's where the general public has to also understand that every time you buy a product, it's like election day. You're casting a vote for the company that
yep.
manufactured that product. So if you want lead-based painted toys out of China that you buy from Walmart for your kids, that's what you get. But spend a buck or two more, buy American or buy from another
right.
country that has a good quality product.
And you want to know, I'm only 40 years old, okay? And I'll tell you, my first ball was a ball of rubber bands. My mom had this habit of keeping every rubber band. She made this big ball out of it. That was my first ball as a child.
Right.
Not every child needs a big, you know, extravagant, you know, toy chest either. But, yeah, so, you know, it comes down to parents shopping around, you're right, and getting quality instead of, you know, cheap, supporting China type stuff. Walmart
well,
just happens to be
jerked around all kinds of ways too. Look at the smartphones, for example. They put all this out, and then they told you had unlimited minutes. They got people hooked texting and Facebooking and tweeting and whatever they do all day. And then they said after a while, no, we're going to have to cut the unlimited minutes now, and you're going to have to pay after a certain point extra money. After they
yeah.
have everybody addicted to it. So they love jerking people around, but we can jerk them back, too. I've said this before. If you got enough people just in three communities and said that for 2 months we're going to buy, say, Exxon gasoline, only Exxon gasoline in these communities, the other ones are going to go nuts. They're going to try and give the gas away for free or whatever, but you just hold your ground. At the end of the 2 months, you say, well, let's see, should we spend another 2 months with Exxon or go to the competitor? What are they going to do?
Right. And you wish you could get that kind
see.
Of movement going, you know, but it's like even with this presidential race, we've had the Conservative Party has been fractured between several candidates. That's why it looks like we're going to end up with Mitt Romney as our candandidate because
I write in candidates. I'm 67. I have yet to get a president ever elected that I voted for, but I have a friend who I'll give you to take a look at his site. He's a write-in candidate for president. He's a wonderful humanitarian. In fact, he's a doctor. He's a founder of the San Francisco Medical Research Foundation. His site is Light Party, LightParty.com. And Diana's been interacting with him. And he under the health portion of his site, it's a huge database of all kinds of very valuable holistic medical information that could be of great benefit to people that can't afford it.
Oh, yeah, my brother-in-law is a holistic medicine guy. And like I said, my son has ADHD, but I've been weaning him off of the medication that the doctors were giving him, and I've been using holistic medicines that my my brother-in-law is suggesting, like grapeseed extract and all this other stuff, and it's actually working.
Wonderful.
Like, I started him on the medicine for the week, and then on the weekend I'll give him this other stuff, and it's working, so I'm going to talk to the doctor about lowering his doses and stuff like that and getting him on this other stuff, because we ran into a scare a few weeks ago where my son needed an EKG because he was having chest problems. Mm. And they were saying it's probably directly related to this medicine he's on.
Absolutely. And you can also, there's diet things involved because there's so many chemicals and dyes and things. And also salicylates, which you'll find in different fruits, like apples. My son craved apples when he was young, and I couldn't figure out why he was eating apples and cottage cheese. You know, why would his diet be affecting him? But apples is one of the things that sets him off with his ADHD. And even to this day, he's 26. If he drinks apple juice, you know it. Because, he just goes like berserk. You know, it's like, oh, man.
You ladies look up in the sky and see the chemtrails?
No, I haven't.
Well, just Google chemtrails. They have these jets about 10,000 feet laying out the poisonous chemicals into the air constantly. And now I hear they're starting to use drones, too. But, yeah, they're going all the time. They've been doing it for years.
You know, that comes down to a narrative of those BHAs or BPHs or whatever they were called, that were very much a contributor to the entire sense of being, quote-unquote, born gay. They say that because of when pregnant women came in contact with these, it put so much estrogen into their body, it created a feminine, the estrogen heightened the baby's estrogen level, and now they're basically born that way, even though it used to be considered a mental disorder. And it's something that they've brought up with, like you brought up chemtrails. I've never heard of, like you said, the flyovers with chemicals or anything like that, but I heard that they were like, it came from like plastics and stuff like that you touch.
Yeah, and all kinds. Agenda 21, UN Agenda 21, that was, I think, Kissinger and a bunch of other people. They're trying to depopulate the planet. They want to take millions of us out, billions of us out.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
I think whoever drew this thing up, they put a lot of thought into it, except that I don't understand why they're still here. Why didn't they set the example and get the heck off the planet, leave us alone?
Exactly.
I would agree. Be nice, but they won't.
Well, maybe that should be pointed out. And common sense.
Well,
you
know what? I'll tell you straight out, and this is kind of sad to say, but George Soros, I'm kind of like anticipating the day I find out that he has had a heart attack or something, because he can't be infusing his money or trying to take down any more countries. But he is like, I've read his whole history, and it's just scary. It's frightening.
That's scary that you put $8 billion into politics here
and
in the United States.
The thing that I fear even more is our future with him still in it.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
hitting on all the points, and that's even sadder than that, is all the people across the country that are so brain dead that they won't get active until the beer is gone and the football games are turned off.
Right.
They'll wake up in a rage, and they'll want to get violent, and that's what they're waiting for. That's the next step. That's why I keep stressing
that's
it has
Marshall
to be
Paul
done with
thing.
Unconditional love.
Well, what the problem is, Hugh, is they're keeping everybody busy. What they're saying, you got to buy this, you got to buy that, you got to buy this. So what people are doing is they're having their two jobs. The mom and the dad are working. I see them getting up 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. They're up. The dad goes out, then the mom goes out. The kids are, left to do whatever. They get home, now that they're cutting those programs, then you got the kids at bay. And then they come home, and they're dead tired at 7:30 at night. Hey, eat a quick supper. What is it? McDonald's, whatever. whatever. Okay, good, eat. And then there's no family quality. Everything's, you know, forget it. They don't have time to know what the hell's going on, whatever's fed on the news, which is negative anyway. And
right.
That's it. So they keep them all damn busy to what the hell's going on.
Together, because we're getting home-based businesses going all
yeah.
around the country, and that's going to bring the family around the dinner table again.
Right.
And that's going to empower Junior so that he can have a business that he may not want to go to college by the time he's
right.
ready for it. Also have the tuition money available. That's
well,
where
yeah. And one of the things that has saved us, I think, is the homeschoolers that,
mm-hmm.
you know, years ago decided to get their kids out of the schools and are homeschooling. We have a generation coming up that is much more aware of what's going on, which will be good. Because, like you said, Diana, they're so busy working and doing everything just to survive and have these things for their kids that they don't have a clue what's really going on, because you're not going to get the real news off of the news.
And the kids are being neglected at the same time. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. And so we're just trying to do what we can and networking with the people that we know to try to get the messages out there and try to do what we can to try to change this country back. I don't know if you guys may have already read it. There's the Communist Agenda that was actually first appeared in the Naked Communist book. It's also entered into the 1963 Congressional Record. And you read that, and it just scares you. I mean, it's just like word for word, you can see it all happening in this country, you know, today. And that's very, very frightening. And then you see these racial tensions being ratcheted up, and you see this president doing things that would enable him to enact martial law, and you know, you pray a lot. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. That's where the faith comes in, and that's what that when you realize that you're going to have accountability when you go back into the spiritual world. I wouldn't want to be the president or some of these elites.
Yeah.
I put that out, too. I'll give you a good example. I say that somebody like Hitler, he's 500
right.
trillion million galaxies away from this planet, on a little planet as a cockroach getting eaten every day, and he's got to work his way all the way back through the eons to try again to be a better person.
Yeah. So, well, guys, we're going to shortly run out of time here, but I'm glad you called in. Billy and I are on every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 Eastern. And, Billy, when are you doing your other shows that you do?
I am going to be doing them Thursdays and Fridays from now on.
Okay.
At 2 hours at 9 at night. They're going to be two-hour shows, 9 till 11.
Eastern, or that's 9 to 11
Central.
Eastern?
Central.
9 to 11, 11 Central.
Central.
So yours are 8 to 10. Okay, our show on Tuesday is 9 to 11 Eastern. And then we also have Patriot Soldiers that's on Sunday afternoons at 4 Central Time, 4 to 6. And we have Sons of Liberty, which is haven't been able to listen into, that goes on Monday nights on the same network, Conservative Nation Radio. And then we have Red, Bright, and Blue that comes on Saturdays. And I'm not sure, do you know what time he comes on, Billy?
1 p.m. on Central Time.
Okay, 1 p.m. Central on Saturdays. But, yeah, call in anytime. We're usually just discussing some of the latest issues going on, or something constitutional, or just random conversations that we have on the show here. So, but very, very, very glad that you could join us tonight.
Yeah,
no problem.
If you listen to Diana's show, Take Action Life Coach, she just, against my telling her not to, she just had a follow-up procedure for breast cancer. And while she was just recovering from anesthesia, did the whole show on breast cancer and encouraging women. She's only
awesome.
5 feet tall, but her heart is bigger than her body.
I have worked with radiation oncology. I've been in oncology most of my 28 years. So when we talk about different cancers, and we also like to sometimes talk about the health issues here on our show, because that's something that also is kind of close to my heart and what I do and what I believe in. So feel free, like I said, to call in anytime and join us for that. And we wish you well with that breast cancer. And
well, they found it as a stage 0.
They found it.
Oh, that's
sorry,
great.
And it was a stage zero. It was a big tumor, and they still can't figure it out because it was huge. And it was a stage zero. And it was a carcinoma in situ.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, that's good,
yep.
though.
Yeah, so it turned out good.
Out, you're usually pretty good, so that's a good thing. So.
Yeah,
awesome.
Exactly. But I have mine on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
I think I'm going to have to be making another show because Hugh has me booking people. So I definitely like you guys on my show because what you have to say is it needs to be heard, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Well, and what's the name of your show?
Take Action Life Coach. As a matter of fact, you can Google me.
Life Coach. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Well,
thank you.
With that, we're going to say goodnight, guys. We got about 7 seconds to go. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll sure and catch your show, Diana. So
thank you.
Have a good night.
Glad to hear that that's a good prognosis.
Thank you. You have a good night, both of you, and thank you for having us on your show.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.